All right, I got Obi Obadike on the show. He's a celebrity nutrition and fitness expert. He's also a best-selling author. He's got a supplement company. He's a TV show host. The guy's doing it all. Obi, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners. Thank you.
Dude, I want to dive right into it, man, because I've seen pictures of you. You're super jacked, super ripped. You've worked with some of the top celebrities, Steve Harvey, and you've gotten these guys some major transformations. And so I always think when you're at the top of the game with like some of these celebrities, they're busy people. They don't have time for this, but you're still creating transformation, which I find remarkable. Now, just in your own life, like consistency, we know is the key. And I'm curious for you, like, how do you stay consistent given your hectic, busy schedule? Like, what is the self-talk?
You know what? I face the same things that most people face in terms of motivation. More than half of the time, I don't want to work out. I'm just tired because of work and stress or whatever. And so there are times where I have to drag myself into the gym. And I just have to mentally just say, let me just, one of the psychological things I do is I'll just go in here for 20, 30 minutes. And then once you go in there and you start working out, you feel better. Like, okay, I'll stay here longer than that. So sometimes you got to play these little mind games with yourself psychologically. So I think when you've been doing something for more than half of your life, exercise, sometimes it can be boring, or it can be like, oh my God, I don't want to do this today. So I personally think that means you're a human being. You're not a robot. You're not from Krypton. You know, some people just love to want to be in there, you know, 3-4 hours a day. That was me when I was in my 20s, but now it's all about just being efficient. So I love quick workouts. I love to be able to get in there. Let's just say I have a day where I want to do my cardio towards the end of the week. And maybe in the beginning of the week, I just want to get in and get done. And I love 40, 45 minutes of weights. Boom, boom, boom. And then I'm done. And then I can maybe do my cardio on later on in the day when I'm doing weights and cardio. So I love quick workouts. I'm not really a fan of long workouts. I'm really all about efficiency. I love high intensity interval training. And so that's what I'm a huge advocate of for someone who may not have the time, or maybe doesn't want to be in there for 2 hours or 3 hours, which, to be honest with you, I think that once you get to that point, it becomes counterproductive. It's like diminishing returns.
Yeah, dude, I couldn't agree more. I love the gym too. And I love, as a dad in his 40s, entrepreneur, you know, author, and just, so I'm just busy, man. I don't have time. I do 10, 20 minute short workouts, probably 5 to 6 times a week. But I'll tell you what always gets me. I'm in good shape and I'm a healthy guy, but I like to have some chips and stuff every now and then. So my diet isn't always perfect, right? But I know guys like you and like Brad Rowe, for an example, a top elite bodybuilder. I mean, he's maintained his same shape, just like you, 6-pack. I mean, you guys have maintained your shape for just years and years. To get a 6-pack, we know it's not just the gym, it's being in the diet. Like, how do you... That's what I'm always curious though. Like, do you enjoy eating a certain way and like almost suffering? Do you ever feel like you're being deprived?
Well, personally for me, I'm not a big advocate of extreme dieting. So I kind of follow the 80-20 rule. And sometimes I might even do the 70-30 rule, where it's eating healthy 70-80% of the time and indulging 20-30% of the time. And I think that if you can find that happy medium, happy balance where you can enjoy the foods that you really love to eat while still eating in a standard way in terms of healthy proteins, healthy carbs, healthy fats, and not relying on fast food or anything that's bad, I think that you can really accomplish your goals. Obviously, for me, because I've been training for such a long period of time and I've done it for a while, and I was an athlete in high school and college, I never really took any time off. Genetics also helps as well, too. But to be honest with you, if you're a guy and you want to see visible abs, your body fat has to be at least 12 to 13% and under. So, you know, abs has nothing to do with how many sit-ups you do a day or how many planks you do. It's really indicative of how low your body fat is. And also, let's just be honest, just because you have abs does not mean you're healthy. You know, yeah. People think you got abs, oh, he's got to be the healthiest person. No. You got to get your blood work done. Because I know plenty of people who got abs and ripped up and the cholesterol levels are high and their blood, you know, and their blood work, AC1 is not normal. So I just think that we have to be able to really know the difference between someone who's ripped and jacked versus someone who's healthy. You know, there was this image of Patrick Mahomes. I love sports, and it was right after the AFC Championship game, and he was in the locker room and, you know, had a shirt off, and he, you know, had a little bit of a pot belly or whatever, a little of a pooch. He kind of, and the image viral out all over the country. And he said, "Hey, man, I have a dad bod. That's okay. It's good." And all these guys, all these fathers were like, "Hey, man, thanks a lot, Patrick. You give us hope and motivation," right? And it was like people were making fun of him because he's not ripped and shredded. And so being ripped and shredded doesn't mean that's not the visual validation if you're a great athlete or not. I've competed against athletes that weren't shredded and ripped, and they can outrun you, outjump you, outplay better basketball than you, stronger. So aesthetics is great, but it doesn't mean that you're a better athlete. Doesn't mean you're more healthier than the next person. So I think sometimes we have to have a normal visual realization of what is considered healthy versus what is not considered healthy. Because I think people think that if someone is shredded and ripped, that person is healthier than someone who has a little bit more body fat and may not have the aesthetics, but maybe their blood work says they're healthier than the guy that's shredded and ripped.
Yeah, so key. I love that. When I was doing a lot of weight loss coaching, I always tell people, I'm not doing anything to like get you to lose weight fast. Because what I tell them is when the body's healthy, a healthy body can't be overweight. So we focus on getting you healthy first. And guess what? The byproduct is weight loss. So I love that. I think we're both aligned there. On that note, you know, let's talk about a little bit about dieting. And when we think about, you just mentioned 70-30, the 80-20 rule. So what do you do, Obi, for some of these celebrities? I mean, what's the perfect diet? Is it keto? Is it carnivore? Is it vegan? How do you decide like what is going to be the best for their bio-individuality?
That's a great question. Well, I think for me, I am a big believer. I think for most part, from all of my clients, I really believe in balance. So I believe in the 40-40-20 rule, which is 40% protein, 40% carbs, and 20% fats. So that's kind of what I believe is having. That would be the starting template and then making adjustments from there. I'm not a big believer of having anything extreme in the macronutrients where your carbs are so low, because if you're an extremely active person and maybe say you're I'm training a celebrity and they're always on their feet, they always got to be on camera all the time. They really need extra carbohydrates to be able to give them the energy to function throughout the day, especially if you're working 16, 17, 18 hours a day. So I believe in balance because all the studies have shown that fat loss has nothing to do with how low your macronutrient ratio is. Fat loss and weight loss is associated with being in a caloric deficit, full stop, you know? The idea that you have to have less than 50 grams a day to lose more body fat, all the science says that that's just not true. Okay. You have to be in a deficit. I mean, it's, you know, I know people don't want to hear that, but it's not, it's numbers. It's math.
Yeah. Love that. I've interviewed some great people. You know, there's some guys that are doing 600 grams of carbohydrates a day. A keto guy would lose his mind if he heard that, but guess what? They're in perfect health. Their blood work shows everything. I mean, they're doing CrossFit and they're dialed in. So,
and I would just tell people, like I said, look, I would just tell people you do what works best for you. You know what I mean? And if it works best for you, you being on a keto and you're okay and you still have energy levels, just relying on your energy source from fats, and your blood work's okay, and you're able to do well in the gym and maintain your shape, then hey, go ahead and do it, man. Because, you know, everybody's body's different. Some people are okay with, you know, being on 50 or 45 grams of carbs per day. Others, a lot of people aren't. So I think you just work, you do what works best for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, I've had some guys on the podcast, like DNA experts, where they've actually looked at my DNA and said, like, Joel, honestly, your diet would not be ideal for, let's say, a ketogenic diet. Do you do any testing, or is there anything that you like to do with some of your celebrity clients to kind of weed out some of these things and give them some extra data if it's like something they're interested in?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, Occasionally for some of my high profile clients, I'll have them do get their blood work done. For the ones that particularly the ones where they might have imbalanced hormones or whatever, or they might have health issues and stuff like that. So them getting their blood work done will be able to help me to get to be able to create a program associated with where they are health wise. So before I take upon any client, I have them fill out a health and fitness questionnaire form that'll ask them questions like their age, their height, their weight, the foods that they're allergic to, foods they're not allergic to, dietary preferences, any past or present injuries, any medical concerns that I need to be aware of. So it's almost like a medical screening form before I take upon anyone. So I can get an idea of what I can do, what I can't do. And that's just going to allow me to create a program that, number one, is not going to hurt them. Number two, is going to be efficient. Number three, it's going to be within what they can do medically, health wise. You know, I need to find out what foods they're allergic to. You know, so all of that information is very important when you're trying to create a tailored program for their, you know, where they are at health and medical wise.
Yeah, I love that you said that because, you know, someone has food sensitivities. You know, for example, like I recently did a food sensitivity test and guess what? It came up that I was sensitive to oxalates. Now you can find okay. high oxalates in things like spinach, kale,
yeah.
dark chocolate. Now these are all supposedly health foods, guys. But if I'm coming to you and I'm telling Obi, listen, dude, I eat healthy. What are you talking about? And then we run this test. Well, Joel, no wonder you're inflamed. No wonder you're not losing weight. And so I love that you're going deep and like really getting into the weeds of what's going on with them at this, you know, maybe molecular or just biological level. So that's really cool.
Yes, definitely.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned, guys, you said, listen, it's always about deficit. It's always about deficit. Now, I know so many people, and so do you, that they are just killing themselves with a caloric deficit. And eventually, even though they might have like, man, 50 pounds, 100 pounds to lose, then they're in a deficit, but they're not losing weight. What do you do? What do you do to kind of help people that have plateaued? And how do you get, what's usually the biggest culprit that you see?
Yeah, I would say for me, if someone is plateaued, it means that I need to change up the program up. Either I may increase the cardio, I may increase the physical, the workout activity, or I might adjust the diet plan. I may drop the calories a little lower. I may make an adjustment in how many calories they're consuming. Maybe I have them at 1800. Maybe I'll drop them down to 1700, maybe increase the cardio by 10 to 15 minutes, or maybe I'll just change up the entire routine up. So for me, I always, with my clients that I work with, especially if they're, clients and I might work, maybe I pick up a client, he wants to work with me for 4, 5, 6 months. I try to change up the workout routine every 4 weeks, you know, because I feel like if someone's following the same workout routine and the same program for more than a month, they typically tend to plateau within that 4 to 5 week mark. That's just what I kind of find on an average. So if I change up the routine once a month, that always helps to get past the plateau for sure. And I think that's why it's so important that every week you communicate with your client and get weekly numbers and stuff like that to be able to gauge if the program is working or if you need to make an adjustment before you get to the week 4, week 5 mark.
Yeah, awesome stuff, dude. You work with a lot of big names, you know, Steve Harvey being one of them. And I'm sure as a, you know, with some of these, you know, affluent and big name people, you might get a little pushback like, Obi, I ain't doing that. I don't care who you are and how many success you have, but I'm Steve Harvey and I'm not doing that. How do you kind of help some of the celebrities get over that push? And, you know, again, they're busy people. So how do you implement and get them, I guess, motivated? Or are they just already motivated because they're at the top of their game?
Well, most of them are already motivated already. You know, you don't really have to motivate a guy like Steve Harvey, who has had tremendous success in his career and where you can't get to that level without having an incredible work ethic. His work ethic, he's definitely one of the hardest working people that I've ever been around. So once someone hires you, you don't really need to do much motivation whatsoever. I think a lot of it is just having them trust you that the program you're giving to them is something that will help them. The thing about it is that guy at that level, he's gone through so many different trainers and stuff like that. So you have to trust that, you have to, you know, convey to them that, hey, this is going to work for you. And then he also is someone who gets real bored with workouts and stuff. So like, he would always challenge me. Like, I don't know how many, there's only so many ways you can work your chest. Oh, let's do something else. It's like, you know, so you're just thinking outside the box. Okay, what other exercise can I give this guy, right? Because he's just like, you know, it just seems like any exercise you do, he's like, oh, I'm bored with this, you know? So a lot of times I think it's just trying to convey to them that the basics are always going to be foundational. Those will never change, you know, certain foundational exercises when you're working your chest or your back or whatever. Yes, you can change different things, change the variation or whatever, but sometimes you get some clients that will just really, really push you, which is good. But there's only so many exercises you can do, especially when you're talking about resistance training. And if you maybe you're at a gym or a home gym where it's limited to, you know, maybe have all the funky and fancy stuff at like a big, big box gym, you know?
Yeah. I know you're very well known for just these big transformations. You know, we're talking like 40 pounds in 12 weeks. Dude, how do you do that?
Well, you know what? I think that, what I would say is that, yes, I have had some phenomenal transformations and, you know, 40 pounds in 12 weeks. And I just want to tell people that that's not normal. That person's an overachiever. You know, typically a healthy weight loss is 1 to 2 pounds per week. So everybody's body is different. And then also people have to also understand that the more weight you have to lose, if you're obese or exceedingly overweight, you're going to lose more weight than somebody that is not to that degree, you know? I would just basically say that I just try to create a tailored program based off of science. I try to make sure that the calories they're consuming is enough that's going to elicit a deficit. It's enough where they're never going to be hungry when they're dieting, and the exercise is enough that's something that they can do. So, there is no one size fits all program. If you work with any trainer or nutritionist and they're giving you a copy and paste program, well, they're basically stealing money from you. It has to be tailored to your specific goals. And I think that's why I've been able to have the success, weight loss transformation success, is really tailoring it to what I think is going to be effective for them health-wise. And then once they're done working with me, which is typically will always happen, they're going to leave you at some point in time, they can do this on their own. You're trying to set them up for life, you know, that when they're done working with you, they can continue these principles that they've learned from you in working with you. And that's the beauty, is that when they're done working with you, they can still keep and manage that weight. And because you hate to see people who have tremendous success working with you, and then you see them 6-9 months later and they've gained it back. And it sucks to see that, because you don't want, even though, you know, we're all in business, but we want, you know, if you're truly a health and wellness professional and you love what you do, you want to see them succeed even after you and be able to maintain that weight.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm in my 40s, dad, entrepreneur, busy guy. And I'm curious, what are some of the top nutrition tips or just things that us guys in our 40s should be really paying attention to? I think you know this better than anybody. All I'm seeing right now is the rage about TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. And I have so many colleagues reaching out to me saying, Joel, should I do this? And I'm like, it might be a viable solution, but I think we need to take care of some of these fundamental root cause issues first, and then maybe explore TRT. So what are the big gaps that you're seeing in some of these 40-year-old men, and how can we stay optimized?
Well, I think also, first of all, before you go on TRT, you have to check your testosterone levels, right? I believe if it's below 250, that's considered a low testosterone level. So if your levels aren't below 250, then you shouldn't really be on TRT. And obviously you have to go to a doctor and they'll check your blood work and then be able to see if you do. But there are a lot of things that you can do to raise your testosterone levels just through exercise, high intensity interval exercise, deadlifting, squatting, Any type of explosive anaerobic movement will help to raise and spike your natural testosterone levels. I think obviously once you get over 40, of course, it's a little bit more difficult than when you were in your 20s. But I always say that high intensity interval training is really great for fat loss. Some good tips that I would say for someone that maybe has issues with controlling how much food they put in their mouth. I think drinking lots of water, drinking up to 8 glasses or more water per day. I know it sounds simple, but it's a great appetite suppressant. I mean, studies have shown if you drink 2 glasses of water before each meal, it is going to make you eat less food. So that is a great appetite suppressing trick. Another thing is fruits and vegetables with every meal. That's also going to help suppress your appetite because of the fiber. Fruits and vegetables are high in nutrients and low in calories. So if you're eating that with every meal, that is really going to suppress your appetite and make you eat less food and help to put you in a deficit. So I think that I always say that before you go on the TRT, you need to make sure, number one, you can't really get on TRT unless your levels are low. A doctor would have to prescribe that. But I'm all for it if your levels are low. But, but your levels obviously have to be below 250, I believe, to be able to be on TRT.
Yeah, totally.
And then protein's essential as well, too. You know, I believe every decade after the age of 25, we lose 3 to 5% of muscle mass, at least from what the studies have shown. So the only way to combat that is lifestyle change. So protein is essential, getting at least, 1 gram of protein per pound, minimally. The more protein that you consume with food, and then obviously if you need to add a dietary supplement, the better that's going to be for muscle maintenance and building lean muscle. And the more lean muscle mass you have, the faster the metabolism will be. So the muscle really drives the metabolism. And this is for women as well, too. So, with women, it's important for them as well, because once they get over the age of 50, they're in the menopause area and they're more susceptible to osteoporosis. And one of the best things to combat osteoporosis for women is weightlifting, is resistance training.
Yeah. So great. I love that you made that point, because we know there's a peptide YY, which correlates with satiety in the brain and that's found in, guess what? Protein. And like you mentioned, the more muscle you have, the better you can regulate glucose and oxidative stress. So it's just so, so key, man. You mentioned supplements. Let's talk supplements. I what are some of your top like 5 that you take on a regular basis or that you recommend in general? I think people should have this. And I know you have your own supplement company called Ethic, which I got a chance to check out. And I'm really excited because I noticed you use actually like the methylated form of B vitamins. And it's Ethical is the supplement.
Ethical Inc. No worries.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I own a supplement company called Ethical Inc. And it's a natural science-based supplement company. I own it with Morris Chestnut. He's a minority owner with the company along with myself. And yeah, the products that I would take is a whey protein and creatine, and then a multivitamin. So I take whey protein as an additional protein source along with the food that I eat, and then creatine, which helps to maintain my muscle mass. I'm not really big on the loading phase thing because I think that it will make you retain a lot of water. So creatine is great. I think it's probably arguably the best dietary supplement when you're trying to build lean muscle mass. But sometimes it will give people the illusion that, oh my God, you put on this extra weight in the beginning. A lot of it is just, water retention or whatever. So I just say one scoop should be enough when you're taking creatine. We do have a supplement company called Ethical Inc. And, we have an appetite suppressant and multivitamin, probiotic, and a post-workout. Our appetite suppressant is something that we push for people that want to lose weight. And then anyone that buys an appetite suppressant gets a free 30-day diet and exercise ebook, because I don't want to be that supplement company that just says, hey, pop this bottle and all of a sudden you're going to lose weight. We want to really give you the tools to help you get there. And we all know that diet and exercise is always going to be the main driver over supplement. Supplement is meant to supplement and assist, not replace. And I will never be that supplement company that says, hey, just take this and don't diet and exercise. I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah, 100%, man. What about like biofeedback, right? There's a lot of, we've got a lot of technology and wearables out there. I know measuring, you know, HRV is a big deal where you can see some your clients' recovery, and they have the Whoop band. We have the Oura Ring for sleep. Is there anything that you like to incorporate or that you're using in terms of technology that excites you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a basic, I think that like a basic Apple Watch is fine. I think anytime that you can have a device, a fitness wearable device that measures calorie burn and measures your heart rate levels and stuff like that, I think is a great, great thing. I love it because it also measures your sleep activity in terms of how much REM, how much you were in the REM area of sleep, which is quite fascinating when you can see how many hours of sleep you actually really got. It also shows your resting heart rate, what that is. So I love data. I love to be able to know how many calories I burn. And I think for when you have clients that are, their whole objective is to be in a deficit, they'd like to know how many active calories they burn and then how many non-active calories they burn to make sure they're in the deficit, especially someone who is just, you know, you get some clients that are just really big on wanting to know those numbers and stuff like that. But I always just tell people, try not to be obsessed with those numbers because sometimes it can make you crazy. But it is a great, fitness wearable devices are great in terms of being able to measure and track your data and make sure that you're getting enough activity and the numbers actually show that based off of how many calories you burn. And also, it's also cool to see what your heart rate level is when you're pushing yourself. You know, are you at your maximum heart rate, or are you at 60, 65% of your maximum heart rate while you're jogging or while you're, you know, while you're exercising. So yeah.
Yeah. Love that, dude. Hey, what are some exciting projects or things that you're working on right now or in the future?
You know what? I'd love to be able to share it, but I can't. But what I can, it sucks, huh? But what I can say is I'm working on another health and wellness project with Morris Chestnut. Potentially another book project that we are trying to trying to close a major book deal. So I'm really, really excited about that. I've got a couple of things that I might be working on with another high profile client. But I always like to wait until I can actually announce it so I don't get myself in any trouble. You know, they're like, yeah, you're not supposed to say that. You know, like, oh man, I just got slapped. But look, I love what I do. My whole thing is being able to, you know, you can't train everyone. We all wish, Joe, we can duplicate ourselves. So a lot of times, you know, we are trying to, create content that we can share with people that can apply to their everyday life. So I love to write. I'm a writer at heart. I love to create content. And there's nothing like creating something, an article that can help educate people. I know that we live in a society where people just watch videos. And I still think there are people there that still want to read stuff, educational. So that's kind of my thing is I came up in the industry before social media really exploded, where everything was all about magazines and stuff like that. And now that fitness magazines are pretty much the death of it, now it's all digital. So I just try to create health and wellness content on all of my platforms and push it out for people and so they can absorb it, apply it to their everyday life, and hopefully it'll make them be more productive, you know, in terms of being able to be successful in their everyday lifestyle lives.
Curious, you had obviously numerous transformations, but was there one either with a celebrity or not with a celebrity that just still stands out to you today that was just such a good transformation or just a successful transformation?
Yeah. There was a gentleman, his name was Mike Hopper. He was probably my greatest transformation ever. When Morris and I closed the major book deal, co-write the cut, I had to do a focus group on about 15 people and associated with the diet and exercise program of the book. So I found this gentleman on Facebook, and he was obese. And so the book is like a 90-day program, but he obviously needed more than 90 days. So we agreed that I would work with him for a year. I wouldn't charge him. And the only thing that I wanted from him was his transformation, and then also be able to use his images for the book. And if we do any, you know, when we do any national press stuff. So I helped him lose 117 pounds in 1 year. And that was, and the cool thing about that was they showed his transformations when we were doing the national press for the book everywhere. They even, when we get on the Steve Harvey show, they even flew him out to the show and showed his before and after on TV. So that was really, really cool. And he did other press stuff for us as well. So that was really cool to work with someone at that level that was obese and get him down to normal size. And what was so cool is beyond just the vanity aspect, I want to say the vanity health aspect for sure, was, you know, once he did his blood work at the end of the transformation, all his levels dropped. Cholesterol levels dropped, blood pressure levels dropped, everything, all his health markers, you know. So that's what's really cool, because we all know that diet and exercise is preventive healthcare. And this is what's going to save your life and save you for expensive hospital bills, you know. So that's why I love what I do.
Yeah, man. That's so cool. I want to wrap things up and kind of ask you some final round questions. But before I do, just anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I had?
No, not at all. I think you've covered quite a bit. And, I think you've covered quite a bit.
Yeah, man. I'm curious, was there a choice or maybe some choices that you made in your life that you think made you who you are today?
That's a good question. I would say that... I think the most important thing that I've learned is not to be afraid to take risks. I think that's it. I feel like that I kind of came in the industry, at least when I made the decision to go full force in the industry, I made it fairly. I didn't get in the industry until I was in my kind of my late 20s or whatever, or to between 28 and 30. So I wish I would have got into this a lot earlier, but I think I just had a hesitation. I think it's very easy for a lot of us in our society to just stay in our comfortable 9-to-5 job. And you got that comfort, you know, of that salary coming in every 2 weeks and stuff, as opposed to going out there and taking a risk and being an entrepreneur and not being afraid to fail. So I just feel like what I've learned as I've gotten older is not being afraid of taking risks and just, I'm not saying putting everything out on the line, but I think that sometimes the only way you're going to know if you're able to succeed in anything is just to take the risk and just try it out and see, as opposed to wishing and not really going full force. So yeah, just being a risk taker, you're going to accomplish so many more things in life when you're not afraid to take risks.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that you said that. I always think too, like if you stay in the middle and you just try to play it safe always, well, then you're just setting yourself up for mediocrity. But people yes. that go to the extremes, not always, they don't live in the extreme forever, but when they do go to the extremes and they kind of push their comfort zone, that's where we see greatness. So I love
exactly. that. Without a doubt, definitely.
I'm a big reader, man. You mentioned that you're a writer and also a best-selling author. What are like some of the top maybe one to just three books that stand out that really changed your life and you would tell everybody, go out and read these?
Well, one book is Outliers. And it's by, I believe, Malcolm Gladwell. Love that book in terms of it's I believe, the 10,000 hour rule to be an expert. I think a lot of these, fake influencers need to actually read that. You know what I mean? Like literally you're not an expert, man. You haven't even gone 10% of 10,000. All of a sudden you're out there selling programs and shit. You know what I mean? So I love that book, man. That book is phenomenal, man. It lets you realize like, wow, you know, like there are certain things like being able, like Bill Gates, you know, like some of the privilege opportunities that he was able to be exposed to at an early age, being exposed to computers when computers weren't even that popular yet. and living in a certain environment that allowed him exposed to it really early. And then over time, he was just ahead of the game. So I really love that book in terms of the amount of hours it takes to really be proficient in your craft, you know. So that was a really great book. Another book is, and not to get all religious, is a book called Imagine Heaven. It is a book that changed my life. And it it's really a book on it's the author interviews over 100 people that had near-death experiences and what they saw in the afterlife. And regardless of whatever religion you're associated with, if you read that book with an open mind and read those stories, it's mind-boggling what they saw. And that this is not it. When you close your eyes here, it's not like all of a sudden blackout. There is another place. There is another world. There is another afterlife. You know what I mean? So that book, Imagine Heaven, was a game changer for me because I was just trying to find answers spiritually in terms of, I just wanted some clarity. And sometimes if you go to church and stuff like that, it's, you get all of these verbal, not verbal threats, but if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And you're going to go to hell and da 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 da. But then like when I did my research and I just read on, you know, people that actually, people from all different walks of religion that actually died and passed away and them seeing their spirit leave their body and what they saw in the afterlife, it was mind-boggling, amazing. And I always advise anyone to read that book to someone who's lost a loved one, because it will give you some closure and make you feel at ease when you read the book in terms of where that person went to, where their spirit went to. So it's a great book if you really want to learn on NDEs, which is called near death experiences. That's the acronym for that.
That's great. I haven't heard, no one's ever mentioned that one. So that's a great one. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
And then I think, by the way, you should just start having multiple purchases of that Outliers book, and just, you could always just send it to people with your autograph, the haters, and say,
yeah, I know for sure. You know, there's a lot of influences out there. There's a lot of books I'll be sending that to without a doubt, man. But yeah, look, I just wanted to just do a quick plug. Anyone that is interested in any dietary supplement products, you know, looking for an appetite suppressant, a probiotic for gut health, multivitamin, or post-workout, you go to ethicalinc.com. And then also, if anyone that's interested in losing weight, getting in best shape, go to obiobedike.com. And Joel, I really, really appreciate the opportunity, for being on your podcast.
Obiobedike, appreciate you so much, brother. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, man. Thank you. God bless. Yeah.